You're listening to RN, Edwina Farley with you. Time to hit the road with our rural reporters. This week, the Flying Doctor is in Oodnadatta, with a special women's-only GP clinic in action. And speaking of women, a group of ladies in Broken Hill in the far west of New South Wales gets the good oil on basic car care. And we try our hand at basket weaving. While we're talking about being crafty, you get to meet an enterprising sheep farmer who's enlisted the help of local hand knitters to set up an online business, selling children's woolen clothes and jumpers.
They're amazing. It's such a wonderful group. They're all either wool growers or they have close associations with wool growers anyway, so they certainly, yeah, were very, quite passionate about being part of it.
The story behind the Wool with Love brand a little later, but first stop today, Oodnadatta, in the far north of South Australia, where the Royal Flying Doctor Service plane has just landed.
We basically are the GP service for many of these outback communities. So many people are aware of the emergency service that RFDS provides, but very few are aware of the regular GP primary care clinics and women's health clinics that we provide, which is to try to decrease the emergencies out there. And very critical, we all think it's nothing to go down the street and see a GP, but that is not an option if you live in these communities.
For most of us, it's pretty easy to make an appointment to visit the doctor for a checkup. But for people living in rural and remote areas of Australia, access to even the most basic of health services can be a real problem. Hello, I'm Caroline Winter. The Royal Flying Doctor Service is renowned for its emergency retrieval service across Australia, but that's not all it does. Increasingly, it's being called on to deliver primary healthcare services, and that's what's happening here today at Oodnadatta in the far north of South Australia. Dr. Betsy Williams and the team are running a special GP clinic just for women. It's been 3 years since a program like this has been held here, and women have come from around the town and the region for a checkup. Women like Christine Lennon.
This is the most women I've seen so far coming to one of these clinics, Women's Day. Not too many young ones come, but it's good to see a lot of the young ones here today.
Soon there isn't a spare seat in the waiting room at the Oodnadatta Clinic, and as the more than 30 women settle in, Dr. Betsy Williams gets started.
And as you know, we have to go inside the bottom and we open it up so we can see.
Using a booklet, she explains what's involved in a pap smear. It's something some of these women haven't had done for 10 years and a very worrying statistic.
Because we know that the incidence of cervical cancer in Aboriginal women is far higher than it is in white women, and that they do not get the same levels of services, and that they do not have the same lifespan. This is the closing the gap issue, where we're still dealing with close to 19 years age difference for age expectancy for women. And these are some of the reasons.
How often do you check them?
But today isn't just about pap smears.
Before or after eating?
Before eating.
Before eating, and it's normally 11 in the morning, is it?
Mm.
Okay.
In another room, sleeves are being rolled up and blood glucose levels checked. Dr. Williams again.
One of the things that we also are discussing are things like diabetes and coronary artery disease. These are two of the major killers of women, particularly Aboriginal women, and to try and do something about weight control, sugar control, fat control, blood pressure control at this stage can prevent a lot of major heart disease and a lot of stroke. So it's very important done in this age group.
Christine Lennon is a 49-year-old mother of one and born and bred in Oodnadatta. She's here because she knows the importance of maintaining good health.
I have been talking to dietitians and that because I'm a diabetic, and I'm proud of myself. I'm pleased because I'm somebody that isn't high or low or anything. I'm probably the perfect patient.
So can I ask how long you've been a diabetic and what changes you've made to try and address it?
For the last 10 years I have been, and I've managed to stay on the metformin tablets all this time. So I've never ever had to increase or go on insulin or anything like that. Blood pressure is perfect.
Diet and exercise are two factors that have given her the title of perfect patient. And as part of the clinic, it's something the group are also being taught.
Yeah, that's it. So using your biceps, so you're making your arms strong through here.
Amid the laughter, RFDS lifestyle advisor Denise O'Connell is showing the women how to stretch using big elastic bands.
So I want to get the women chatting and laughing and hopefully at the same time learning a few things about how to exercise or get a bit more incidental exercise and a bit of exposure to healthy eating and what that looks like rather than preaching to them about what it is. It's more about showing them what it is.
Soon a spread of salad, cold meat and cheese is laid out on the table for everyone to make healthy wraps. It's about the only time the waiting room falls silent during the day, and it's a silence that brings music to the ears of Alison Day, RFDS Healthy Services Program Manager.
While we do these programs in these remote locations, we don't always get the feedback about what impact we have. So to have a day that's focused on these sorts of, particularly on women's health issues, where we have the opportunity to get the data from patients such as their blood pressures, their blood sugar levels, their weights, their waist circumferences, gives us really good information to be able to compare how those measurements have been in the past.
She says regular visits and holistic lifestyle programs like this are vital in trying to close the gap in Indigenous disadvantage.
Well, certainly it's well known that Indigenous people live at least 10 years less on average than non-Indigenous people. Also, their access to health services is not as regular, and they often have a much higher incidence of chronic disease and heart conditions and those sorts of preventable often diseases and conditions that are really a result of less regular access to health care.
After 8 hours, dozens of pap smears, blood glucose checks, food education and a whole lot of laughter, this team of dedicated women leave this remote town and its residents now more informed, more health conscious and with smiles on their faces.
Someone asked before about tightening nuts. Look, if they're too tight to undo, well then you've got to call someone to help you because...
Hi, I'm Heather. I've come here tonight to learn how to look after my car because my husband won't let me drive to Mildura without knowing how to change a tyre. So it's really informative for me. It's been good.
If they're too tight for you to undo, don't do yourself an injury and try it. Persevere, get someone to give you a hand.
Hi, I'm Gigi and I'm just participated in the Women for Drive workshop and I found it really interesting.
Just wind the wheel nuts on.
Do you check the oil before heading off on a long road trip? What about topping up the water for the windscreen wipers? And can you change a tyre? Hello, I'm Cherie von Hirschner, and like the other women around me tonight, I'm now much better informed about basic car maintenance than I was just a couple of hours ago. And that's pretty important when you live in the remote far west of New South Wales, often hundreds of kilometres from a friendly mechanic. There's about 25 of us here tonight in Arthur Clifton's garage in Broken Hill, ranging in age from 16 to 75, all keen to learn what's under the bonnet.
Well, I'm just trying to teach them the basics of keeping a car on the road and not having to abandon it if there's any need to, sort of thing, really, yeah. Trying to teach them, the right way of going about things rather than panicking and leaving their car and sort of putting themselves in danger of walking away from it, yeah.
So what are some of the questions that have been asked tonight?
Mainly about the oil goes and how do you put the oil in and brake fluid, water for the radiator and also water for your window washers. They get a bit worried about how their tyres are wearing or how much tread's left on them, and we supply them with a tread depth gauge, a little cardboard tread depth gauge, and that seems to allay their fears because they know they've got a fair way to go or they haven't got so far to go on their tyres yet.
So far, what have you been learning?
About wheel alignments, and I didn't know that they put little balances in the wheels. I thought they actually put it on a machine and shook it up to make it even, but so each wheel was like in the right position, balancing, yeah. They put these little weights in the rims. Yeah, that was really interesting to me.
And what else are you hoping to learn tonight?
how to change the tyre so I can go to Mildura shopping.
We even went under a car, which I'd never done in my life before. It was fascinating. Everyone should have a look at what a car looks like from underneath it. Yeah.
And do you, when you go driving, do you head out bush much in your car?
I don't do so much bush driving, but I do long distance driving a lot. And as a woman, you do feel sometimes the stretches are so long. If anything happened, you know, would I be able to cope? And so tonight was really useful in that it gave me more confidence.
Hi, I'm Abby. I came here tonight to learn a bit on how to look after my car.
Before you came tonight, did you have any idea on how to change a tyre?
No, I didn't know how to change my tyre before I came here.
Hi, I'm Belle. I've came here tonight to learn more about my car and the servicing side of things. It's all been pretty interesting so far, and yeah, it's good help.
How long have you been driving for?
5 years. Yeah. Yeah, no, I have learned a few things tonight that I didn't actually know about, which was good.
Like what?
Just a lot more about the tyres, what they're made out of, that they're actually tubeless. I thought they had tubes in them. Your tyre pressure, actually. I learned about what your tyre pressure should be, which is good because I'm always ringing up my brother-in-law asking him what my tyre pressure should be.
This tyre can be put on the left side of the car, the right side of the car, front or rear.
Hi, I'm Geraldine. I came along tonight to pick up a few hints on things to get me out of difficulties when I'm driving because I drive along way sometimes on my own. Yes, I've learned tonight how to get myself out of mischief if I do have any problems on the road.
What stood out for you were a couple of things that were very important?
I think weather conditions. They gave us a few hints on weather conditions and what to do when we're driving. For our tyre care, safety, a few safety tips that I wouldn't have thought of had I even been changing a tyre.
Like what?
Well, the chocks, using like under the alternate tyres. We could use rocks in like an outback situation on the road. Yeah, and just basically being aware of keeping our car in good order, checking a few simple things every couple of weeks. Yes, it's good.
Geraldine, one of the women participating in that special car maintenance course in Broken Hill. Cherie Van Horschner, our reporter there, getting her hands dirty, changing those tyres. Still to come on Rural Reporter today, the knitting needles are working overtime in southern New South Wales, and a basket weaving workshop helps bind a community together in Victoria.
It's traditional basket weaving. We use the grass off the land and there's no needles or anything involved, so, yeah, we're teaching these girls how to do a bit of traditional weaving.
So what we're doing is winding that around.
Yeah. Oh, but not as thickly. Okay.
About 20 women and children sit in a circle watching carefully as local Gunai woman Susan Martin demonstrates the art of basket weaving. She's winding the grass into an intricate pattern that will, in time, form a basket. G'day, I'm Laura Poole in the Goongra Community Hall in Victoria's East Gippsland. This is one of the state's most remote communities. It takes more than an hour of driving down the very windy Bonang Highway to get to the shops at Orbost. So to get all of these people together in the one place at the one time for a basket weaving workshop is a major achievement. So what's the grass called that you use?
Lamandra. In our language we call it barn. That's a Gunai language. And that grass is all around the paddocks and everywhere around farmlands, bush areas.
And where did you learn to basket weave?
An old lady from Lake Tyres Aboriginal Trust, Aunty Linda. She used to come around and we'd sit with her and she'd teach us how to do the traditional weaving. And she's passed away about 20 years ago, so we still carry it on.
And how often do you do it?
Well, every time I go camping or every time I feel bored, I pick it up like knitting needles, yeah.
And what do you like about it?
Oh, it's good. It's relaxing. I love it. I enjoy it. My mother, she used to do it with us and we're teaching our younger ones to do it now, so the tradition stays there. Mm.
We're standing at Goongra in the mountains where you've been doing a workshop with about 20 women. Why do you think it's important to show other people how to do this?
It's a traditional piece of work. And we don't mind sharing our culture with everybody, because if we don't share our culture, then, you know, they won't have an understanding of what our people are all about. So.
And I've been having a go as part of the workshop. What do you think of my weaving?
No, you've done really well. Really
That's not
well.
What you said before.
No, it's deadly. No, you've done a good... No, fair dinkum serious. That is really good considering, like, for beginners. I've seen others and, nah, you'll pass.
And for the listeners, it's more like a coaster than a basket at the moment. It's just small. How long does it take you to build some of the big baskets that we traditionally use for fishing?
Just to start off with a basket, once you get your base where you want it, and then once you start bringing it up in a nice big basket, it takes about an hour to go around the basket. After you've, you know, you've got to think about gathering all the grass, drying it, cutting it, splitting it, then soaking it, and then working with it. Well, how can you put that into money, dollars?
Yeah.
Time and effort. Yeah. It's hard.
So we'll go over the top.
Yeah.
And then... The high country around Goongra and neighbouring Tubbert was devastated by bushfires just over 12 months ago. More than 165,000 hectares was burnt out over 70 days. The fires have taken a toll on the local community, so workshops like this help bring everyone together.
Okay, I'm Lisa Camp and I work at the Tubbert Neighbourhood House as a coordinator.
And Lisa, I've just stolen you away from your basket weaving. What was today's workshop all about?
It was basically like the Tubbert Neighbourhood House always does, is trying to get people together. And this is actually a breakthrough. It's the first time we've held a workshop in Goongra, and it's done more than we could imagine because it's brought people from Delegat in New South Wales all the way up to Tubbert and from Orbos and Marlow, which is just great. Mm.
And why is it important to come together?
Because we're so remote out here, and even our schools, it's Tubbert and Goongra School, and we're so far apart, we don't really catch up out of school, our children catch up, and just to keep it communication going, and the conversations that have been happening out of today, doing the basketry, you see everyone walking around and looking at other people's baskets and then having a great chat.
And it's been a really trying year or two for the region. I mean, we look out over the mountains and we can see the scar of the fire. Is it important now more than ever to be having continuous conversations as communities?
Yeah, look, I think it is. And when you go through that disaster that happens, it brings the community together. And we've seen it in a lot of other places. They come together, but then they start tearing apart again. It doesn't take long. So to keep us all together and to keep that communication going is such a big thing, and to be focusing on something other than fires for a change is really good.
I sort of imagined that they were telling me I had rocks in my head, to be honest, but they were so positive and enthusiastic about the idea, and yeah, they've been so wonderful.
Annabelle Scott's a country girl living with her husband and small children on a farm near Cootamundra in southern New South Wales. She's surrounded by beautiful merino sheep every day, but there was a problem. She couldn't find any good quality hand-knitted woolen clothes and jumpers for her young brood to wear. Hello, I'm Skye Manson. Not to be deterred, Annabelle had the idea of starting an online business. She enlisted the help of some local knitters, and with her marketing and advertising background, the Wool With Love brand was born.
We've got small children of our own now, and last year particularly, it was quite tricky just to come across a really good hand-knitted woolen jumper for our eldest boy, and we don't have anyone in our family who knits, and unless you've got a little craft shop in your local town or wherever, it can be hard to come by.
How many women have you got involved in it?
There are about 20, actually. They're amazing. It's such a wonderful group. They're all either wool growers or they have close associations with wool growers anyway, so they certainly, yeah, were very, quite passionate about being part of it.
How did you, like, what sense did you have that other people wanted woolen clothing in a similar way to how you did?
We had actually some friends staying down here from Sydney, and Jack was wearing a woolen jumper that he'd been given when he was born, and this was a little while ago, and they said, wow, like, where did you get that? If you could reproduce that, there could be such a market for it. And just a few friends had, you know, just made passing comments that particularly hand-knitted stuff, but just good woolen clothing was hard to come by. So, and from my own experience as well, you know, I just sort of thought, well, might be worth a go. And yeah.
On a personal level, has it been really nice to be involved with these women who are obviously from another generation of farming and are great knitters, but also, I don't know, women that have lived through a great lifetime on the land?
Yeah, absolutely, Skye. I feel so lucky to be involved with such an amazing group of women. They're such an inspiration, and they've, just got so much to offer, like, you know, twofold. They have this amazing skill of knitting, which is, there's not so many people around these days who have that skill, so that is incredible. And I just feel so fortunate to be involved with these inspirational women. I feel like I'm gaining probably a lot more out of the relationship than they are. They're just really, really beautiful women.
I've just finished having a cup of tea and a piece of cake with two of the beautiful women involved in the Wool with Love venture. Dee Bush lives on a farm near Bookham, and she was one of the first to get involved.
Annabelle rang me one day and said, Dee, remember those trousers you knitted for Jack when he was born? And I said, oh, yes. And she said, well, God, I've been trying to look for hand-knitted clothes for the children, and I can't seem to find them anywhere or what I want. And she said, I've got an idea of setting up a business. I said, oh, that's a great idea. And she said, where do I start? And is there any chance of getting some knitters? Do you know any knitters? And I said, oh, I think that's a wonderful idea, and I will try for you. And so that was how it all started. We organised some patterns, so we had to design and work out the sizes, and then we knitted some trial ones for her, and that is how we got knitting. And so she has now the business, and she tells us what to do, and it's so nice.
Well, Judy Ticehurst is also here. She's another one of the knitters from the Bookham clan, and you've got a really great story, Judy, of how you carried out your trial and error of the sizings with your grandchildren.
Yes, our family came to visit one weekend, and we had jumpers and skirts made, not quite sure on the sizes, but our grandchildren covered most of the ears, so we lined the children up one after the other and tried the clothes on them, so we knew a size 2 fitted the 2-year-old and so on.
Yeah. And what is it that you enjoy about it?
Well, I love the socialising. I mean, I love the knitting, but our month 6 weekly get-togethers when we exchange ideas and have a coffee, or we run short of wool and we ring the neighbour, have you a little bit more red or blue? And it's a community effort, not just you knitting on your own.
Yeah. Would you have that kind of regular contact were it not for Wool with Love?
I would with near neighbours, but some of the others I wouldn't. Yeah. They're only people you see down the street when you go to town. But it's a different association with people. Neighbours you talk to about sheep or other things, but now it's knitting and wool as well.
Yeah. And Dee, is it something that you're happy to keep doing for a number of years to come?
Certainly is, because it is a very relaxing thing to do, and we get some pocket money along the way. It's just so nice to be able to do it. None of us are in it to make a fortune. We're just happy to do it for Annabelle.
Dee Bush from Bookham in southern New South Wales, one of the hand knitters involved in Annabelle Scott's Wool with Love venture. Skye Manson, the reporter there.